eyeball.
In the black school when you came.
Yeah. When you came, who were some of your black school teachers?
Well, when I first came to Diboll, I remember we had a later teacher, Finney Simmons' wife. Her name was Ruby Simmons, and she lived here in Diboll. Her husband was Finney Simmons, and we had Miss Inez Sibley, and she was a native person of
Diboll. She was Maddie Smith's daughter, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah. She was Maddie Smith's daughter. And she was teaching school here at the time. And I think she passed maybe a year or two ago. And we had a lady from over in Nicton community with the name of Lily Griffin. And she married a fella here in Diboll by the name of Amos Simmons. But Miss Lily taught school, was teaching here when I came here. And I think she taught school here until she retired. And she retired, I don't know, maybe in about 73 or 74 when she retired.
Mm-hmm. You had 12th grade?
Yes, we taught 12th grade. And had a complete athletic program within the school. And considering what we had to work with, I think we did a very good job because the achievement of the students that graduated from the high school here was very good. And some of them turned out to be real good students and did real good job of their college career. Because we've had a large number to complete the college work and some to go on and get their master's and doctor's degree in various fields. And they've proven to be very successful people.
Mm-hmm. Well, when talk first started about integration, how did you feel about it?
Well, now that is very interesting. I'd like to explain to you just how I felt about it, and this will sort of tell you how I felt about it.
Okay.
Our first year of integration, we had an integration committee that came here from the state, and they met with the superintendent, and they invited me to this meeting, and they told me that now we're going to integrate these schools. And what we're going to do, we're going to make your school over there an all-black school. We're going to make it an intermediate school through the ninth grade. And then we're going to have the elementary school, and then we're going to have a high school over here. And they told me, says, Massey, says, you're the best qualified principal that we have within the school district. And said, we want to use you somewhere in this school system. Said, we'll give you any of the schools that you want. We'll give you principalship at the elementary or the junior high or the high school because you're the best qualified principal we have in the district. They said, what school do you want? I told them I don't want any of them. I wouldn't accept any of the job, none of them. So you mean you won't accept any of the jobs as principal of any of the school? I said, no, sir. I just won't take it. So, well, what will you do? I said, well, I can do most anything at school that you want to a teacher to do and teach almost any subject you wanted to. Well, what subject would you like to teach? I said, well, I teach math, agriculture, or whatnot. So we agreed and I took up high school math. And I taught high school math for a year. And then finally the superintendent Mr. Foster, I believe, was the superintendent at this time. He called me in his office one day, and he told me, he says, Mr. Massey, we need you up here in the office. I said, now, will you accept a job as assistant principal? And so I told him, well, Mr. Foster, I tell you, if y'all think I can do you a pretty good job, I will accept a job as assistant principal. So I accepted the job as assistant principal under Mr. Ramsey, see. So I work as assistant principal under Mr. Ramsey at the high school for 2 or 3 years. And, well, I had to give full time as an assistant principal, so I had to stop teaching math, so I accepted this position as assistant principal. And I don't know, I tried to do my best, but as an assistant principal, I felt like this because of the discipline problems and the decisions that we had to make when we had black and white students involved in things. It puts you in an awful situation to have to make these decisions. So I asked them and assured them that any decision that I have to make concerning a race issue or whatnot, now I want full support of complete backing from the administration, and that they did, and in fact a number of times they would come to me for advice on what decisions to make when we would have conflicts between the two races of students, see. Mm-hmm. And in that way we got along very well, very good.
How did your parents, how did black parents feel about integration?
Well, they didn't actually know or didn't realize what was going on or didn't realize what effect that it would have. But actually some of the high school students from the black community, I don't know, they seemed to have had sort of a grudge or ill feeling toward the white students because of the history of the, you know, relationship. Mm-hmm. But it seemed that over a short period of time, these relationships grew better, and the students started getting along better and working together better, see. So I think it worked out very well.
Well, now, did you start with freedom of choice?
Yes, when we first integrated, our first year of integration, the students were given a choice to if they wanted to go to the white school or if they wanted to stay home and attend a black school. So I would say the first year about a third of the students just wanted to integrate. See, they wanted to go and see what it was like, see. So about a third of them went over and integrated the first year. Now, the second year, at the end of integration, it was mandatory that they all integrate. And they discontinued the black school, see. So they all had to integrate there, see.
And Mr. Pate was the superintendent then? That initial year?
I think the first year of integration, Mr. Foster.
Oh.
Mr. Foster was the superintendent, because I remember very well that he and this integration committee tried to get me to accept principalship of one of the schools, mm-hmm. which I would not accept.
In this freedom of choice, what year did you think it was?
Well, 1965, mm-hmm. I think. Uh-huh. but y'all excuse me for just a minute. And I think that was pretty well thought of by all of the students and the teacher. In 1976,
mm-hmm. It was your last year to teach.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They dedicated this school annual to me. I completed 39 years of.
That's a real record.
39 mm-hmm. years of school teaching. That's right.
Mm-hmm. We have heard that some people said that integration could have started earlier in Dyball than it did. Do you think it could have?
Well, that all depends. I think that if Mr. Temple wanted it integrated, he could have integrated it any time. All he had to do was just say integrate, and integrated it must be done. And that's the way Dyball was, see. But I'm sure he didn't want to constitute a lot of confusion and whatnot among his workers here. So he just let it go along until the state started requiring that schools integrate. And when they did, well, he went right along with them. And we had no problems, see.
Dyball has that reputation of making the transition easier or smoother or better than the surrounding area. And at that, I think you were a year or two ahead, weren't you, of making it?
Right. And to verify the relationship we had with the people in Dyball and Dyball community and Dyball school district, I noticed in most school districts where they had integration, they took the black schools, and in some places they just tore them down or fenced them off and ignored them and went on with their school program without a black school area school building being involved. But in Dyball community, the black school was improved and was dedicated to be used as an intermediate school. And since integration, they have really beautified it and made a nice school building out of it. But in most communities, the black school was just put out of the system completely. That's right.
With leaving this school and using it, the black people didn't feel exactly cut off from their own school, did they?
That's right. That's right.
Did you have any real bad problems during integration when you first started?
Well, personally, I didn't not have, because I think one reason that I didn't have was because I sort of foresaw what was going to happen or what could happen. I had a pretty good idea and sort of predicted these things, and I stayed away from them. And that way, somehow or another, I got around not being involved in them. And one thing I did, the first thing, as I said, that I did, I refused to accept the principalship of any of the schools, mm-hmm. see. But I started off as a classroom teacher. And there I had a group of students that I worked with directly, and I was able to convince them of my attitude and how I could get along with them. And we got along so well until my promotion to assistant principal of the high school was sort of provoked by this group of students that I worked with, mm-hmm. see. And that way, personally, I didn't ever have any real problems with either the black or the white students. Mm-hmm. And seemed like the white students, as well as the black students, honored and respected me very much as a leader.
Well, you had already established yourself over here.
Right.
And I'm sure the black children, when they got to high school over there, they were glad you were there.
Right, right. And the white children over there, when I got acquainted with them, well, then I had no problems whatever, because they all seemed to be real close friends of mine. I had no problems working with them, see. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Do you remember any special people that helped you during this time with these problems that came up?
Well, yes, I do. We had complete help from the people within the community. Actually, we had help, I'd say. We had support of Mr. Temple and whatnot, but we never had to call on him for any assistance within our school program. And we certainly had the assistance of the superintendent, Mr. Foster, at the time, within the school program. So we just never had any major problems related to integration, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well, looking back over these 20 years, so to speak, do you think that the black children have benefited from integration?
Well, yes, I do. But so far as getting a better education, I don't really think I can confirm that, because of the fact that I experienced this myself in going to college, that in smaller schools, you have a closer relationship with the teachers, and the teacher understands your problem better, and that enables you to, if you have the right attitude and the right desire, to really get a better education in a smaller school.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a larger school, see, now this refers to an integration or a non-integrated school. In a larger school, you just don't have that personal relationship with your teachers that you have in a smaller school, see. So in a smaller school, you have a better relationship with your teacher. And if you have the right attitude and a good teacher, well, you can actually advance as well or better than you can in a larger school where you don't have that close relationship with your teacher. That's right.
Mm-hmm. In a larger school, a student tends to get lost if he's not real aggressive
with
his own self.
That's exactly right. See, that's exactly right. Now, I remember when we integrated one of our best students. She was named a Teal Girl, and she was a real smart student, straight-A student. And when they made choice to integrate, well, this girl decided to not integrate. She stayed over here in the black school. Well, after she stayed over here for a few days, she came in the office one day crying and said, "Mr. Massey," says, I decided I want to go with the other students because I'm over here by myself and I get lonesome. And All of my classmates, or most of them, have gone to the white school. And I told her, well, we had a certain period of time for you to make that decision, and you made the decision to stay over here. Now you just have to wait until next year. Well, this girl stayed over here and completed her high school work at Temple School. And then she went on to college, and she was a straight-A student in college. Now, I think that with her ability, even through high school, at the integrated school, she would have been a straight-A student, see. Mm-hmm. So actually, the integrated or the not integrated school doesn't make a whole lot of difference. But the big difference is their relationship with the teacher and the quality of teacher that they're working under, see. Mm-hmm. That makes the big difference.
How do you feel about the relationship that's always existed in Dyball, as far as you know, between the black and the white community?
Well, the relationship between the black and the white community has been, to my opinion, sort of a mandatory thing within the temple, because of the temple supervision over the community, see. Now, whatever is set up, a general principle set up by the temples within this community, that has prevailed within this community for years, see. So my opinion and my observation of it, it has been very good. But, you know, way back when I first came over here, there was quite a separation between the communities, because the black community lived on one side of the railroad track and the white community principally lived on the other side of the railroad track. The black community had their own baseball teams and that sort of thing, and the white community had theirs. So there wasn't really a close relationship, because they just didn't live and work together, see.
Just coming up to the present time, Mr. Massey, if you don't mind expressing your ideas on it, there's been such a stir about the no pass, no play issue. I think it would be interesting to hear your views on that as a retired teacher who was so successful back in your time of teaching. You had established such a fine rapport with your black students before integration, and then carried over to integration.
Well, my view on that subject, I have to say, would be this. Now, I feel like that just the no pass, no play route is not the real solution to the problem, see, because the real solution to this problem would be to initiate some kind of program whereas the school could advance and educate each student in a field which they are best qualified in and prepared to advance in that field, and not block them within one area because they fail in another area. See. Now, if a student is gifted in music, say, but that student cannot learn English very well, that student shouldn't be blocked in music because they can't get English, they can't pass the English course, see. There should be some sort of solution to this without blocking the path of a student, see. If a student is a gifted athlete, some sort of solution should be worked out, whereas this student could advance to the full extent of his potentialities in whatever field that he is gifted in. Whereas, say, if this student is gifted in athletic, but now this student doesn't apply himself, and he fails in his subject because he doesn't apply or doesn't show enough interests or whatnot in other areas. Well, that's a different point of view. And that's why I say that I don't feel like that we've got the real solution to this issue when we up and block students in one area because they fail in other areas. Now, that's my point of view of it. That's the way I feel about it.
And did you all have children, Mr. Massey? I never knew if you and Ms. Massey had any children.
Well, yes, I have a girl. I have a daughter, her name is, she's married, she's a counselor at the high school in Lufkin. Her name is Toran, Gloria Toran.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And did Ms. Massey teach here too?
And yes, she taught, she was elementary school teaching. And she was well thought of by all of her students and her co-workers at the elementary school here,
mm-hmm.
See.
Mm-hmm.
So she was teaching in the black school when we were in, before we integrated. Then she went over and taught over at mm-hmm. the elementary school until she retired in 76.
So Dieball was lucky to have both of you then.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Full time.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
When the Spanish people came in, started coming in, you know, more and more, did that bring any special problems?
Well, actually, I didn't notice any myself because when I was teaching math, I had quite a few Spanish students in my classroom. But actually, I didn't really have any problem with them.
Mm-hmm.
They were all very cooperative, and they would apply themselves the best they could.
Mm-hmm.
And their relationship with other students was very good. So
mm-hmm.
I actually had no problems there.
Mm-hmm.
My father thought of him and get it on that tape. You do remember my father in the
present
time.
Yes, that's right.
If that's all right, Marie,
yeah.
Is it on?
Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
Oh, is it already on?
Tell him. Repeat.
Well, I can remember so well when my father was one of the trustees,
uh-huh.
and I helped him in the pressing shop off and on a lot of those times, as well as Pate did, too.
Yeah.
And on your way to school or up to the commissary attending to your business as a schoolman, one way and another, you would very often stop by, and you and my daddy would go out in the boiler room and talk school.
Uh-huh.
And he always had a high regard for your ability and you as a professional man, and he realized what good relations you had with the black people.
Yeah.
And the sincere interest that you had in all youth. And then many times Mr. Pate would come along, you and him and Daddy would meet over there. And Daddy always felt like that you and Mr. Pate were the backbone of laying the foundation for integration, that it was your two heads that swung it.
Well,
in the beginning there.
I really appreciate that, and I was very determined when I grew up to succeed in the field of school teaching.
And you
and
did.
And I did my very best.
You and Ms. Massey both.
And I never have any trouble whatever finding a job teaching school. In fact, nearly every year I would have some school district would invite me to come in and apply for a job. So I never had any trouble getting a job as a school teacher. And I appreciate the success of the credit that has been given to me as a school teacher.
Well, are you enjoying retirement?
Well, I'm completely relaxed. And it's no problem to me whatsoever. And I did that while I was teaching school. I guess I could have taught school just as long as I lived, because I was completely relaxed, see. So whatever I get into, I just go into it, relax, this is it. And I make myself satisfied and contented that. And that's the way I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well, we sure appreciate your talking to us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Vivian Warner referred to her father and his feelings for Mr. Massey in this tape. His name was Lon Smith. He was a trustee of the Duval Schools.